The Bill Shakespeare Project presents This Week in Shakespeare for the week ending Monday, April the 13th, 2015. Hola, Bartophiles, and welcome to the 46th episode of This Week in Shakespeare, a podcast brought to you by the Bill Shakespeare Project. This is our weekly opportunity to let you know about the latest and greatest in Willie Shakespeare headlines coming at you every Tuesday. The goal here is to hit you with a quick blast, no more than 10 minutes tops, of Bard-related news. Plus, we'll try to serve up some historical dates for what was the past 7 days of the year. So, this week's news stories included: Broadway World ran the announcement of Kentucky Shakespeare for their second annual Shakespeare in the Parks tour, this year taking a 7-actor, 90-minute Macbeth to 18 area parks and bringing free Shakespeare to various neighborhoods from March 28th to May 17th. Playbill ran a story on New York City's Shakespeare in the Parking Lot finding a new Lower East Side home after losing their old home last summer. The new venue will host As You Like It July 9th through 26th and Macbeth July 30th through August 15th. The Canberra Times ran a story on the opening of As You Like It by Bell Shakespeare in Canberra, Australia. The Baltimore City Paper ran a story on The Merchant of Venice by Baltimore Shakespeare Factory, saying that the original pronunciation presentation reminded them of the rapper Ghostface Killa. The Madison Eagle ran a story on the announcement by Shakespeare Theater of New Jersey of its 2015 season, including Love's Labor's Lost and The Merry Wives of Windsor. The Shakespeare Theater of New Jersey is headquartered in Madison, New Jersey. The News Telegram ran a story on the announcement by Worcester Shakespeare Company of its 2015 season, including Love's Labor's Lost and All's Well That Ends Well in Worcester, Massachusetts. The Post Star ran a story on A Midsummer Night's Dream and Romeo and Juliet opening the Adirondack Shakespeare Company's 2015 season, which will also include As You Like It and All's Well That Ends Well at multiple locations in New York State. The science site phys.org ran a story on the new article in the journal Psychological Science that reveals that by applying psychological theory and text analyzing software, researchers at the University of Texas at Austin have discovered a unique psychological profile that characterizes Shakespeare's established works, and that this profile strongly identifies Shakespeare as the author of the long-contested play, Double Falsehood. The Atlantic's City Lab site ran a story on the new interactive map of London during Shakespeare's day. Very cool stuff. The Week republished the always entertaining Mental Floss article, 10 Ways Shakespeare Changed Everything. I personally love number 7. Findy.com ran an interview with director Alexander Burns, focusing on his production of Macbeth. NPR ran an interview with Tina Packer, the author of the recently released book Women of Will, a discussion of the female characters of Shakespeare. The Kansas City Star announced King Lear by Heart of America Shakespeare Festival, which will run June 16th through July 5th in Southmoreland Park. Market Wired ran a story on Bard on the Beach Shakespeare Festival's 26th season coming up in Vancouver, British Columbia, including The Comedy of Errors, Love's Labor's Lost, and King Lear, running from June through September. The Willamette Week reviewed The Comedy of Errors by Six on Shakespeare, which the troupe is running with two casts, one all male, one all female. The reviewer found the female cast much more enjoyable in a production that runs through the weekend at the Backdoor Theater in Willamette, Oregon. The Times Higher Education in the UK reviewed the new book Great Shakespearean Actors, giving it a positive review. And finally, Blogging Shakespeare reviewed Julius Caesar at Austin, Texas City Theater, calling it a serious rendition of a great play and a welcome compliment to Austin's varied theatrical repertoire. Now let's take a look back on the last 7 days and how they relate to Shakespearean history, both his and the history in his plays. While I could find nothing for April 7th and 8th, April 9th was a busy, busy day. In 1413, Henry V was coronated as King of England. 70 years later, in 1483, Yorkist King Edward IV died, leaving the throne to his son Edward V, who would never be crowned, as he would be taken to the Tower of London and then disappear under the orders of his uncle Richard III, if you believe Shakespeare. And in 1898, African-American actor Paul Robeson was born. His portrayal of Othello at the Savoy Theater is said to be one of the greatest of the 20th century. On April 10th, 1512, James V of Scotland was born. His daughter of only 6 days of age would succeed him when he died in 1542. On April 11th, 1471, Edward of York conquered London, taking Henry VI prisoner and the throne for himself as Edward IV. These events are depicted in the third part of Henry VI. On April 12th, 1550, the man who wrote Shakespeare's plays was born, if you're an Oxfordian. This is the day that Edward de Vere, 17th Earl of Oxford, was born, and there are some who believe that he was the man behind the quills, so to speak. On April 13th, 1570, Guy Fawkes was born. He led a group of Catholics in a failed attempt to blow up Parliament and King James I in what was called the Gunpowder Plot. And while not strictly Shakespearean, he was big news in the Bard's Day. And that was your Week in Shakespeare. You've been listening to the Bill Shakespeare Project presentation of This Week in Shakespeare for the week ending April the 13th, 2015. For our blog and previous Twiz episodes, including links to the news stories we've covered, as well as the real Bill Shakespeare Project podcast, check us out at thebillshakespeareproject.com. And we'll catch you next week.